Lord, as we come to open your word, we ask that we can indeed be still, my soul, and that we can just rest and open our hearts and our minds to what you have to say to us this morning. Be with us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Today's reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 9, verse 8 to 17. Then God told Noah and his sons, I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants, and with all the animals that were on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, and all wild animals, every living creature on earth. Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. Then God said, I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures, for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is a sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send up clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the flood waters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth. Then God said to Noah, Yes, this rainbow is the sign of the covenant I am confirming with all creatures on earth.
Rainbows. We saw last year at the beginning of the lockdown what a powerful symbol they still are. I think this is a picture of a rainbow sent in by Carol about a year ago for one of our services. They're a powerful symbol, aren't they? A symbol of hope and of better things to come. If we remember back to that time at the beginning of that lockdown, everywhere people were putting up pictures of rainbows. They were displaying them when things were at their most desperate. It's interesting to reflect on what we think this symbol means. Is it just a vague hope that things won't always seem as grim and dreadful as they are right now? And I wonder, as far as people are aware that the symbol originally comes from the Bible and from the end of the story of Noah, I wonder, what do we think the point of it is? Possibly, is it that God has made a promise not to get too angry with us again, and that we should remember that when we look at a rainbow? But that's really not quite it. And in fact, when you look closely at this story of Noah, this Noah narrative, this story is in Genesis, it's full of surprises. And have a look what it says here in verses 14 and 15. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. So we read that the reminder is not even a reminder for us. It's not a reminder for us, but for God, it says. When God sees the bow in the clouds, he will remember this commitment that he made to humanity and to all creation, never again to allow it to be destroyed, never again to allow chaos to reign. Last week we thought about Climate Sunday, and we looked at Genesis chapter 1, and we saw there how God brought order to all creation and filled it with life. And if we look closely at the story of Noah and the way it's structured, what happens in the story, we see that actually it is the story of God reversing that whole process, allowing the order that he brought to creation to return back to chaos, and allowing the life that had filled the earth to be destroyed. He'd brought that order by separating the waters above from those below, and allowing land to come forth out of the waters, but now he allowed it to collapse back, and he allowed the chaotic waters to reclaim the land. And we also saw last week how God made humans in his own image to be in partnership with him, ruling over his creation. But of course, We chose to rule in our own way by violence, terror and greed. And we see that still to this day as we look around the world and what's going on. But it began right back then. And at the very start of the Noah story, we read God's verdict in Genesis 6, 5 and 6. The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. We think the Noah story is a story of God becoming angry, but that's not what it says at all. If you look at it closely, God was grieved. God was sad that his purpose for humankind was not working out. He was full of regret that humans were stuck on this downward spiral of violence and evil and self-destruction, and they weren't going to stop it. At every turn, it seemed that they were bent on returning to chaos and nothingness. And God is grieved that the plan is not working out. God is grieved. He is deeply touched. And what God decides to do at that point is to wipe the slate clean and start again. But now in chapter 9, after it is done, it seems God has reached a new resolve. Something has happened in the heart of God as a result of what's happened. His new resolve is that he will never do that again. That's what he promises. The whole big story revolves around what is going on in God's heart. On the one hand, God has this unmovable compassion for these rebellious humans that he has created in his own image. On the other hand, God created the cosmos for a reason, and it was going to be, he was determined, it was going to be a peaceful world, a peaceful cosmos, and he was going to finish his new creation. Nothing would be allowed to stop that purpose from coming to fruition. And God is moved to make this total commitment, this covenant promise, never again. In verse 8 and 10, I forgot to put this on the screen, but in Genesis 9, 8 to 10, then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark." It's a covenant that God makes not just with Noah, but with all humanity, all generations, right into the future. And not just with us humans, but with all living things. And it's an unconditional promise that God makes. It's remarkable to look at this covenant because no conditions are put on humans at all. Never again, no matter what, God is utterly committed to working with us to achieve his purpose, to finish his new creation. It's staggering stuff when you think about it. No matter how bad humans get, God will never give up on us. We on our own will never be able to break that downward spiral of self-destruction and violence. We'll never do it. But God promises he himself will break that cycle, no matter what it costs. That big story, of course, it's far from over. And we've not yet reached that final climax where the new heavens and the new earth appear, where God finally meets his bride, where God dwells with humans forever, where God wipes away every tear, where there's no more death or crying or pain, as we read about at the end of Revelation. But God is utterly committed to working with us to make sure that all of that will be fulfilled. And when we look at Jesus and the gospel story, we can begin to grasp what the cost is for God. As it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." died for us. That's where that commitment that God made led God ultimately. If we think about the gospel story, all those Pharisees and chief priests and Herod and the Romans in the story, all of those who were bent on utterly messing everything up in God's plans, they were not wiped away and destroyed. Instead, God in Christ paid the price according to his total commitment to all humanity and to all creation. An unconditional covenant. God remains loyal even to people who are totally disloyal. As it says in 2 Timothy 2 verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. God was completely free to act as he saw fit, being God Almighty himself, of course. But in making this covenant with Noah and with all humanity, he chose to lay down that freedom. And that decision that God made reaches its climax. It reached its climax at the cross of Calvary. I'd just like to make a couple more comments about that promise to Noah. So let's look again at verses 14 and 15 in our passage. So when I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. So this promise, the promise is that the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. Now, is that just a promise about no more massive floods? I think these waters, I think, symbolise more than that in this story. They represent the chaos before God brought any order. Because if you remember back to the very start of Genesis chapter 1, before God began bringing order to the cosmos, it says that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. That the waters represent that chaos before God began his work of creation and of bringing order. The Israelites, the Israelite people were afraid of the sea, actually, because it represented to them that chaos and of untamed creation. And the sea represented a place where evil came from. And so incidentally, this is why I think when it says at the end of Revelation, that passage that we read, that there was no longer any sea in the new creation, I'm actually quite doubtful that we should take that literally as a description of the new creation. I think it's about the final taming of that chaos, I think. For those of us who love the sea, I don't think we need to worry about that. God has promised right back here that creation will never be allowed to return to total chaos. And then the rainbow. As you see in this more literal translation here, it just says bow. And the bow, of course, it was one of the very first and most ancient weapons of war. And many ancient creation myths were about a warrior god at war with humanity, firing his thunderbolt arrows down to the earth. But here, in contrast, in this story, God is seen hanging up his bow. In verse 13, it says, I have set my bow in the clouds. God is the bow is pointing not down to the earth, but up towards heaven. And God will not be at war with humanity. All creation can rest secure. The war is over. God is utterly committed to our well-being, and he will not be our enemy. So as we come back to thinking about climate change and the ecological crisis, what does all of this mean? Does it mean we don't have to worry about it at all because God won't let it get too bad? I'd say definitely not. We can't afford that kind of complacency. Even if God has promised that the world will never be utterly destroyed, we see throughout history that terrifying and dreadful things of many kinds have still been allowed to happen to people throughout history because of our rebellion and folly. So we don't want such terrible things to happen to our children, do we? You hear some Christians say that the whole world will be destroyed anyway at the end time, at the end of time, before Jesus returns, so that it doesn't matter. And myself, I actually think this is a dangerous lie. I don't see how it is compatible with God's promise to all humanity. I believe, as the song goes that we sang earlier, that there is hope in the mighty name of Jesus. But it's not just a hope of each of us floating up to heaven after this world is destroyed, but it is a hope of our resurrection and of finishing of God. It's a hope of God finishing his new creation through his people by the power of his Spirit. It's a hope of God partnering with humans as he intended from the very beginning and achieving that final victory over the darkness. There is hope. That is the big story of the Bible. We see that we see that whole big story in miniature, I think, in the story of Noah, because the story of Noah is a story of deliverance, where God works with Noah, his faithful servant, so as to make a new beginning and form a new family and a new creation out of the rubble of the old order. We have a sure hope. But as we consider the crisis our world is going through and has been going through right now, as we consider the prospects for the next generation, we can certainly not be complacent. After all, we want to be on the right side of the story, don't we? We want to be among those who, like Noah, partner with God according to God's purpose, in the power of God's Spirit, according to his purpose in creating us. We most certainly do not want to be among those who work against God and carry on that path of self-destruction and get wiped away. As humans, it's our choice whether we continue the cycle of violence and destruction and sin and greed, or whether we stop grasping for control and let God be God. Let's be sure that we make the right choice. God will never force us to make the right choice. His love for us, even at our very worst, is too great. But he has made this total commitment to work with his people so that his good purposes for all creation will prevail. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for that total commitment that you made to us and to all creation for all time, no matter what the cost. We thank you for paying the price for our self-destructive ways and our greed and our rebellion, paying the price in Jesus. And as we think of your good world and all its brokenness and chaos right now, and of the ecological crisis of climate change, we ask you, Lord, have mercy. We trust your purposes will prevail, and that you will work your purposes out in partnership with people, so that our children can hope for a better future, and so that you will really, that your will really can be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, to that end, work in our lives by the power of your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.